I do want to welcome you today to Journey Church. And today is, as we all know, it's a rather amazing day. And here's the cool thing about today. There's Christians not only in this city, here, this city, in our state, but around the world today, around the world, at different time zones, there's people celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Isn't that exciting? We're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. So I had somebody ask me the other day, is it hard to preach on Easter Sunday because really the message doesn't change? How many people are thankful the message doesn't change? Amen. Okay. Amen. If the message changes, kill the pastor, okay? Amen. Amen. The message doesn't change. But what I want to do today is I want to turn this, I don't want to preach a sermon, okay? Don't want to preach a sermon. Today, I want to make this a classroom. And what I'm going to ask everybody to do is I want everybody to find a Bible. If there's a blue one in front of you, hopefully some people have their own. If not, you have an iPhone. I'm going to allow you to use your iPhone only for this purpose today. Don't be checking NBA ball scores from last night. Don't be checking to see if the Pirates are still in first place. They are. Till Memorial Day. I had to take a cheap shot there, and I got it in. So anyway, I do want to encourage you today. What I want you to look for is a book in the Bible. It's called Corinthians. And we're going to look today at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're looking in that blue Bible, I'm helping you out quite a bit. I'm even telling you the page number, 879. Because today what I want to do is I want to share what this resurrection thing is all about. I think a lot of times what we assume is we assume that people know things just because they show up in church. Not only on Easter Sunday, but all throughout the year, there's people that show up and there's still some things that fall through the cracks. And today we're going to tighten up the cracks. And I'm just going to teach. I'm not going to be real snazzy. It's just going to be a simple teaching. And what I want you to do is I want you to keep the Bible open in front of you because I want you to see for yourself that this isn't something Pastor Mike's making up, but this is something that's rooted in the Word of God. And I'm one of those people that believe that God is, I believe the Word of God is His authority and His power, amen? I believe it's infallible. Amen. And I believe it doesn't change. It, right. It's still the same for us here today in 20, where are we at, 19 already? Yeah. Unbelievable. How many people feel like they're getting older? I have good news for you older people today. You're going to rejoice by the end, okay? Because it's going to be that good. So 1 Corinthians 15. This whole chapter Paul's writing, or this whole book Paul's writing to a church in the city of Corinth, and this is a church that has a lot of issues, a lot of problems. And in chapter 15, what he does is he turns to the subject of the resurrection. And what he does at that point in time is he touches in detail for 58 verses. Don't worry, we're not going to look at all 58 verses. And everybody said, "Oh, thank God!" But we're just going to skim through the verse or the chapter. And we're going to talk about the resurrection, okay? But before we do that, what I want to do is I want to lay some groundwork that's very, very important before we get into the text. There's a few things that we need to understand. And the first point that I want to make this morning is this. I want to point out that we as humans, and I really want you to digest this, we as humans are immortal. I want you to hear that this morning. We as people are immortal. Meaning, simple, means that we're going to live forever. I just want you to hear that this morning. I want to let you know that your life is much, much more than from the cradle to the grave. There's much more than those years that take place from the day you were born to the day you die. And actually, Jesus makes this super duper clear in a verse in John chapter 5. This is John retelling the story of Jesus. I want you to look at these words from Jesus. He says this about our immortality. He says this, Jesus, folks. Does everybody hear that? Jesus said this. We believe that Jesus is fully God. Amen?
Amen.
It says, indeed, Jesus says, you got the point now, the time is coming. We don't know the time. By the way, somebody tried to tell me this week, they had kind of had an idea of the timing. I was like, oh, my foolish mortals. Okay. The time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, Jesus referring to himself, and they will rise again. Does that get anybody excited or what?
Amen.
How many people Don't raise your hand, but just ask yourself this question within today. Do I really believe that? Do I really believe that there'll be a day that I'll rise again? Then he says this, verse 29. Jesus said, those who have done good, they'll rise to experience eternal life. And those who have continued in evil, they will experience judgment. Those are the words of Christ, and he's laying the foundation for our talk today. So here's the deal. I'm just going to lay it out very simple, very clear, as clear as I possibly can. This has actually been a very time-consuming message, and the reason why is because I want it to be as simple as possible. I want to take what some people see as complicated. I want to make it simple, okay? So here's the deal. When people die, and this is true of every person, there's one of two things that happen, one of two. There's no other option. There's one of two things that happen. First, there's the person who dies outside of a relationship with Christ, meaning they never came to Christ. And we're told that the moment that person dies, here's what happens. Their body, their spirit enters into what Jesus would refer to here as eternal judgment. That's the person who's never said yes to Jesus, who's never said yes to the gospel. The moment you die, instantaneously, there's something that happens. Your spirit, your soul leaves the dead body and it goes into its eternal dwelling place. Okay, am I making that clear? Then there's option number two, which is the option that we are super charged up about. We're excited about. This is why we as Christians have hope. Option number two is there's the second person who dies, but something different has happened. They have placed their faith in Christ. They have a personal relationship with Jesus, okay? And instantaneously, the moment that believer dies, instantaneously, yes, their body is dead, but their inner man, their soul and their spirit instantaneously goes into the presence of Jesus. Does everybody understand that? That's why if you ever go to a funeral service for a Christian, the pastor will often quote a verse from 2 Corinthians 5:7. He'll say this verse, to be absent from the body means to be what? Present with the Lord. Meaning, yes, that body's dead, but I tell you what, the real you is alive, amen? The spirit soul immediately goes into the presence for the believer, into the presence of God. So when a person dies, immediately the soul of that person either goes out of the presence of God or into the presence of God. In both cases, whether heaven or hell, man, we see, is immortal. We see that person will live forever, okay? But the story doesn't end there because we're going to see it today in Scripture. Scripture teaches us that one day there's going to be what the Scripture refers to as a bodily resurrection. Have you ever heard that terminology before? There's going to be this bodily resurrection. And I want to let you know there's not much said in Scripture, if anything, concerning the bodily resurrection of the person who is outside of Jesus. You can look for it. I wasn't able to find it. There's not much detail, if any, about the bodily resurrection of the unbeliever. But the Bible has a lot to say about the resurrection of the believer, the bodily resurrection of the Jesus. There's significant talk, and really, that's what this chapter that we're looking into today is really all about. Paul is addressing this issue because people in Corinth are a lot like us today. They were confused. They didn't know what was going to happen when they died as believers. So Paul says, I'm going to write you a whole chapter, 58 verses. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen when you die, because then you'll have peace and then you'll have hope and you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. You can just have that assurance what's going to happen. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at those words that Paul shared with that first century believers, okay? So let's look at it together. Let's dive into today's scripture. So if you have your Bible, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay. And we're just going to go right from the Bible today. I don't have any other stories today. We're just going to stay right in the scriptures today. Paul begins in verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15. And what he does, an interesting take, he begins to share the good news. He talks about this good news. Have you ever heard that term before, good news? And he says it's this good news that leads us to salvation. And what he does is he gives us the good news in two simple verses. Two simple verses. And by the way, this is the key text for the defense of Christianity. These are two verses that are very, very good for you to memorize. When people ask, what do you believe? You go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. And let's look at what Paul says in those verses. He says this. He says, here's the gospel in the nutshell. He says, Christ died for our sins. How many people are thankful for Good Friday? Amen? Good Friday was the fact that Jesus came to this earth and his mission was to go to the cross. And he went to the cross on Good Friday because Jesus loves every one of us so much. And he went to the cross to die for our sins because the Bible is clear that we're all sinners. So Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture says. And then look at verse 4. He says something very interesting. He said, Jesus was buried. And the reason why Paul points that out is because there were people in that day that said Jesus really didn't die on the cross. He was just kind of knocked unconscious. And then when he got into the cool tomb, what happened is there's people that were teaching it was just the cool air that kind of woke him up. And I want to let you know, when you've been on a cross and you've been beaten 39 times and a spear has been put in your side, they wouldn't take him off the cross until he was dead. Does everybody hear that? Jesus died. Amen. That's the part of this gospel that we believe in. He was died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And here's why we're here today. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. So here's the deal, and I want everybody to get this. This is so important. If you take notes, I would suggest you write down this one slide. If you don't take notes, I would suggest you write down this one slide, okay? Here it is, guys, the resurrection. What's this all about? The resurrection means that the sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice for sin, was acceptable to God. That's what the resurrection is. Is God saying, I accept the sacrifice for sin. So as a result, here's the good news. We can be completely forgiven. Amen? You guys don't sound too excited yet. We can be completely forgiven. We can be saved from our sins. We can be saved from the consequence of sin. We can be saved from that judgment that Jesus was referring to in 5:29, okay? But here's the problem. And the problems I have found out don't change much over time, even though it's been centuries. And the problem was that there were those people in that day that were saying, this resurrection's just a hoax. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's full of deception. And what there was in that day is there were doubters who were coming along, and the doubters do what? They cause people to doubt. And I want to let you know, today in our culture, there's a lot of people that doubt. And they would love nothing more to cause you to doubt. But I'm here today because I want to build up your faith, amen? I don't want us to be doubters. I want us to be faith-filled people in the good news. So what does Paul do is he begins to say, I'm going to give you some evidence. I'm going to give you evidence that Jesus really did die and that he did rise from the dead. So what's the kind of evidence that he's going to give? He's going to give the best evidence that you can find in a court, and that is that he gives us this evidence that there were eyewitnesses. Meaning there were people that actually saw Good Friday, amen. And then they actually saw the resurrected Jesus. They saw it with their own eyes. And I love the list of people he mentions in this eyewitness case. He says, first of all, Jesus was seen by Peter, verse 5. And then he was seen by the 12, was the title of the disciples, the 12. But I love that he mentions Peter. And the thing that I love about Peter is if you know the story of Peter, it was just a few days before this that, what did Peter do? Does anybody remember? He denied, how many times? Three times. He denied even in front of a little girl, a harmless young girl, he denied that he even knew Jesus. I don't even know who that is. Then as a fulfillment of the words of Christ, what happened after Peter denied Christ for the third time? Does anybody remember? The rooster crowed. And the Bible says the moment the rooster crowed, Peter wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Jesus just gave me 3 years of his life, and I denied that I knew him. He wept bitterly. And I think Jesus is coming to Peter to say, you know what, Peter? I love you. I won't give up on you. I'm a God of the second chance. How many people are thankful for that this morning? Amen. And then I love the fact this is some crazy witness. It says he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. One gathering, there were 500 people that saw Jesus between the resurrection and the ascension, which is, by the way, a period of 40 days. So for a period of 40 days, there were 500 followers in one time that saw Jesus. Then it goes on to say, and I love this one too, he was seen by James. You say, what's that all about? Well, James, history tells us, was the half-brother of Jesus. And there were other half-brothers of Jesus. And here's the thing. They grew up with Jesus. But here's the thing. They didn't even believe that what Jesus was saying was true. Did you know that? They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, God's anointed one. They didn't believe until 3 days later when Jesus walked into the presence of James and said, James, do you believe now that I am who I say I am? And as a result, James leads some of the early churches. And James writes a letter by the name of, anybody want to take a guess? James, good job. Way to go out on the limb. Yeah, awesome. And then he was seen by the guy that wrote this letter. He was seen by Paul. And here's the thing about Paul seeing Christ. It came after the ascension. What do you mean it came after the ascension? It came because Paul was one day named Saul, and he was persecuting believers, and he was on the road to Damascus, and you can read about this in Acts chapter 9, and it's there that Jesus appeared to Paul, and it was just a moment of revelation, of transformation that changed Paul's life forever. So what we see here is that Paul offers some pretty convincing evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. And this is important because it builds the foundation of the gospel. Yes, Jesus rose. God validated the fact that the sacrifice was paid. We can be forgiven. Then he continues in this letter. If you have your Bible open still, I want you to go down to verse 13. He begins by sharing why the resurrection is important. So we're going to look at the importance of the resurrection. Verse 13. Look at these verses. They're amazing. Verse 13 says, "For if there is no resurrection of the dead," he says, "then Christ has not been raised either." So what he's saying, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus himself is still in the grave. And we know that's not the case. The witnesses knew that wasn't the case. Verse 14, "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless." So everybody say, if there's no resurrection, shut up, Mike. Let's go home and let's eat dinner early. This church thing is it's silliness. If there's no resurrection, what I'm doing right now is just a waste of my time and your time. And then Jesus puts it on Paul puts it on everyone. He says this, and he says, hey, folks, not only that, your faith is useless. It's useless. Let's go on to verse 17. "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless." And here's the tragedy, friends. This is tragic. If Christ has not been raised, you and I are still guilty. We're declared guilty of our sins. How many people know if Christ hasn't been raised, we got a big problem? We've got a big problem. And that is that we have this relationship with God that's broken, where hostility exists if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. Then verse 18, "In that case, all who have died believing in Christ," he says, "these people are lost." They're lost. A couple years ago, my mother passed away, and I still miss her. I'm still processing not having her in my life. Our family hasn't been the same since. But I'm so thankful today that I had hope in those moments because of the resurrection. I know that we say this kind of nonchalantly, she is in a better place because she knew Christ. Then verse 19, "And if your hope in Christ is only for this life," listen, everyone, "if your hope for Christ is only in this life, you are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." And I just want to let you into my life real quick. As I was preparing this message and I was going through it and praying through it, I read this verse that if our hope is only for this life, we're to be pitied. And I begin to think to myself these thoughts: if the resurrection of Jesus isn't true, then I need to stop doing what I'm doing. And I need to begin to go after all the pleasures of the world. I need to go after my ambitions, pursue those things. If Jesus hasn't been raised, I need to start just going after the American dream. I need to start keeping up with the Joneses. I need to elevate my life above everybody else's life. I need to look out for number one. If Jesus hasn't been raised, what am I doing investing in people in the kingdom? if Jesus hasn't been raised, I need to just change my total way of how I'm living my life. I might as well begin to live my life for me. Forget about other people. Forget about living for Jesus. If there's no resurrection, really the mantra should be eat, drink, you know the rest? For tomorrow we die. If there's no resurrection, I might as well just live that way, you guys. We might as well all live that way. If there's no resurrection, why don't we just throw it in and say, whatever feels good, do it. But I'm here today to tell you, the fact is this, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen? Amen. And I want to let you know, all those people who buy into that, and I hate to say that because that sounds cheap, all those people who believe that, and I'm not only talking about you believe it in your head, because there's a big journey that needs to take place. It needs to go into your heart. Amen. Amen? For all those who believe that in your heart, the fact of the resurrection changes everything. It changes everything. It changes my eternal home, my eternal hope. It changes my values. It changes my priorities. It changes who I'm living for, what I'm after. If Jesus has truly died, it changes everything in our lives. It just makes all the difference in the world. So this is why the resurrection is important. So now let's close by looking at some incredible news. If you have your Bibles, go to verse 20. Is everybody doing okay? You guys be able to sit for like 8 more minutes? Amen. No one's too hot?
No.
I'm getting hot, so I need to rip this tie off, okay? Verse 19 or 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And everybody said, amen. Let me read that again. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And check this out, you guys. Check this out. This is the good news. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Let's move on. Verse 21. So Paul says, so you see, just as death came into the world through a man. Does anybody want to take a guess of who he's referring to? Adam. He's saying because Adam, death came into the world. And because of Adam, we're all going to follow suit. We're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man to die. We're all going to die. I just hope it's not soon, okay? We're all going to die. And then he says, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Does anyone want to take a guess who he's referring to there? Everybody say that together like you're convinced. Jesus. Verse 22. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam. That's our human side. We all belong to Adam. It says, everyone who belongs to Christ. I want to say those words again. Everyone who belongs to Christ, here's the promise, will be given new life. Verse 23, but there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all, and here's the phrase again, all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. How many people know that's pretty exciting news? I want to read it again. Then all who belong to Christ, that's the key. You got to belong to Christ. All who belong to Christ will be raised. He's talking about the resurrection to life, not death, when he comes back. And here's the cool thing. Paul writes another letter, and we're just going to jump into another letter real quick. It's a letter that Paul writes to people, Christians, living in the city of Thessalonica. And he writes a letter, but now he gives them a little more detail to what this resurrection is going to look like. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, and 17. This is how it's going to play out. One day, this is what's going to happen. Bless you. I want everybody to hear this. One day, this is what's going to happen. Does everybody just give me 3-4 more minutes? One day, this is what's going to happen. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. It was reference to Jesus. And he's going to come, and he's going to come with a commanding shout. And he's going to come with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. It's going to be a moment that no one will miss. First, the believers who have died will rise from their grave. So Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back with a shout, the voice of the archangel. And all those people who have died, my mother included, all those people you know who knew Jesus, what's going to happen is those people will rise from their graves. It's going to be an amazing situation. Then it goes on to say, verse 17, then together, with them, and I hope I'm in this group right here, we who are still alive. How many people want to be a part of this group? We who are still alive and remain on the earth, because there's going to be a remnant of people. They haven't died. They're still alive. They remain on the earth. They're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then here's the promise. We will be with the Lord Jesus for how long? Everybody say it together. Forever. Forever. So there's going to be people who go into judgment forever. And then there's going to be people who have said yes to Jesus that are going to be in the presence of the Lord forever. So the incredible news is that Jesus will come back. And he's going to come back for all those, and the wording is this, all those who belong to Jesus, who belong to Christ. And those people are going to be raised. And those people are going to be with the Lord forever. So close your Bible, please. We're done with the scripture. I have a question. It's the biggest question of your life. And the question is, isn't this, it isn't, did you go to church on Easter? The question isn't this, what denomination were you or are you? The question isn't going to be, were you confirmed or were you baptized as an infant? Did you celebrate your first communion? Here's the question, guys and gals. Do you belong to Christ? Let's just sit here in silence. If you need to close your eyes, I went for 10 seconds. Let's just sit, because this is an eternal moment. Amen. This is the eternal moment. Not did I grow up in a Christian home. I did. I'm thankful for that. But it's so much more than that. I haven't missed an Easter service in 55 years. Aren't I something? Everyone, please listen. As though your eternity depends upon it, because it does. Do you belong to Christ? And there's some people in this room today, right now, you're saying, absolutely, without a doubt, I have no doubt at all. I know that I belong to Christ. Then there's other people in this room who says, I don't know. I'm not sure. How does that happen? And let's kind of just limit all moving around, because this is just a moment that, just for the next 2 minutes. How can you know you belong to Christ? Let's go back to the first two verses we looked at. It stated three very important things. How do I know I belong to Christ? Number one, I believe that Christ died for my sins. I believe that when Jesus was on the cross, the amazing thing about it was for all people from beginning to end of time, but it was also very personal. It was for every single individual. So do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And that's your only hope. That's your only hope. Do you believe that? Do you believe this, that he was buried, that he died? Do you believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day? So if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you need to respond by coming and asking for forgiveness. And the part of that, and these words, they work so close together. There's a lot of words, but they intertwine so closely. There's a word with asking forgiveness. It's called repentance. And repentance simply means that I'm going to turn from my sin and living for myself and living for sin, and I'm going to do a 180. I'm going to turn. I'm going to have a change of direction. I'm going to have a change of mind, and I'm going to turn from that sin, and I'm now going to turn to Jesus, because only in Jesus is there forgiveness of my sins. And I'm going to place my trust, my all-out trust. I'm all in. I place my trust in Jesus. I need to repent of my sins. And instantaneous with that, you're believing that Jesus was raised from the dead, meaning that God accepted the sacrifice for the payment of your sins. And that changes everything. So let's go back to the beginning. You are immortal. Your life on this earth may be numbered. Your days are numbered. That's what the scripture says. Our days are numbered. But I want to let you know your life doesn't end at death. But we go on to be in the presence of the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. So let's just bow our heads in closing. Thank you for being here this morning. It would be silly for me to assume, and I'm not going to assume anything, that everybody in this room today belongs to Christ. Not everybody believes and has confessed their sins and repented and say, Lord, I repent, I turn from that and my sin and I place my faith in Christ. And what I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to today that this could be a day that changes your eternal home forever. So is there anyone in this room today, you say, well, you know what, I don't know if I belong to Jesus. I'm pretty sure I don't. But today, I want to come in. I want to be a part. I want to come to Jesus. I want to forgive him. Ask for forgiveness. I want to repent of my sins. I want to be brought into relationship with Christ. Is there anyone today that you say, you know what, the stakes are too high. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want to know, and I want to have that assurance that I belong to him. Is there anyone here today that says, this is the day. I want to know for sure. One person in the back. Is there anyone else? Because I quoted the verse. I quoted half of the verse. It says in Hebrews 9:27, for it's appointed unto man to die once. We're all going to die. And then the writer of Hebrews says, then after death comes judgment. And the beautiful thing is those who place their faith in Christ, their hope in Christ, they're going to be free of that judgment. They're going to be declared forgiven. They're going to be in the presence of God. Is there anyone else that just says, I want you to pray for me this morning? Amen. So Lord, we just thank you for this time. We just ask, Lord, that we would just remember that there's more to this life than this brief time that we have on earth. But Lord, I love the quote from Rick Warren who says, this life is simply preparation for eternity. So Lord, I just pray that we'll be people who will be wise and not forgetful. That we'll be people who are wise to prepare, to use this time to prepare for eternity, because eternity is real. It's real. So Lord, may we be wise to prepare for eternity, I pray. Maybe we be wise to prepare for eternity. And may we be wise to place our faith in Jesus as our Savior and as the Lord of our lives. And everyone said, Amen.